Yeah, he says we have 8 years and two franchises approved. The answer is the second round. And listen, I feel good about Donovan leading this team. I think a lot of this is baked around the idea that Mobley, though, will eventually be the star. And I think when we talk about Dwayne Wade, we talk about some of these conversations, I think it's entirely, I'm going to say, unfair of Dwayne Wade to, and again, it might be disrespectful to Donovan to think this way, to make it seem like he is one of the all-time greats, because he's just not an all-time great. And I think the Cavs fans have an understanding of that. And I think that's why there's a lot of flack that is, or a lot of leeway that's given by Cavs fans to Donovan.
I also think, like, along the lines of what I was alluding to, just how the NBA's changed, and it's not about, like, you need the star player that's going to always do everything in crunch time, like, and how you need a deeper team. I think it's kind of rich that Dwayne Wade, of all people, is, like, out here calling him out when he was part of one of the greatest super teams of our generation. Like, that was literally a concession by LeBron that he didn't have enough where he formerly was playing. So let's team up with two of the other best players in the league and build this super team. And, like, now we can finally get over the hump.
He,
like,
still won in 06 prior to that,
though. He did win on, Shaq. Shaq was still a really good player at that time. Then he came here, and that was where he was at the, you know, in the limelight of his career.
If you were to give him an actual, like, truth serum test, I bet he would say he loves that title more than any of the ones with LeBron.
Probably. Because it was more about him.
Why he was able to join LeBron and do that is because he'd gotten over the hump on a team that was perceived to be his, and he'd accomplished that. And so, like, there's not many people in this world that can really throw the dagger at Donovan the way that Dwayne Wade did. But Dwayne Wade is one of those people.
I would agree. Like, he has the qualifications to do it. I just think it's funny that, like, we know how close he is with LeBron. He knows that LeBron dealt with those demons of, like, he's going to be judged in the playoffs and all those things.
He used to be close with Donovan, too, though. That's the weird part.
It took LeBron teaming up with the person being critical of Donovan Mitchell to literally get over that hump and win a championship. So, but that's why I say maybe that's the thing that's missing from Donovan Mitchell in terms of getting over that hump. Maybe it's not the performance on the court, because I think we can all look at that series. And even though your argument is valid of, yeah, he probably did too much in a season where that wasn't how the Cavs were winning.
Right.
They were winning a different way. He probably did too much, but you still saw him drop almost 50 in a game they should have won. Like, that would have gone down as one of the most iconic postseason performances ever, certainly in Cavaliers history, if they had pulled that off. And we would have been, like, talking about how great Donovan is.
I know, but sometimes I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when we have a conversation about Donovan in this postseason. I know he was individually great. You didn't win a single home game in a round that you were favored by. You were minus 500 in Vegas, okay? You didn't win a single home game, and you lost in five games to the bleeping Pacers. Like, can we put it in some perspective? People are acting, I love Donovan, I do, but people are acting like Donovan dragged this team to the finals and should be talked about as such. Like, the usage rate was out of this world. He was doing way, way too much. And I get why he felt like he needed to, but then also within that, and listen, I'm not saying anything that's harsher than what Donovan has said about it himself.
Yeah.
You want to come at me for it? Come at Donovan. He made much harsher claims than I'm making right now.
He opened the door for all the criticism. So it's a totally fair point by you. My larger point on, like, the performance on the court is, like, we've seen him do it. We even saw him do it in Utah in the bubble, right? Like, we've seen him from an individual standpoint, like, deliver in those moments. That's not the question with Donovan anymore. It's like, how are you going to get past the second round? And can you get past the second round?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the thing I'm now falling back on is I just don't think he has, like, I hate to say it this way, because, like, I think Donovan is who he is, and I think the fact that he is kind of this humble individual is great. But maybe he doesn't have that LeBron element where he's like, I'm going to demand that we make changes. I'm going to demand, because if he wants to win as bad as Jason Lloyd said he does, that might be what it takes. That might be what it takes for him to get over that hump. It's like, we need to change something with this team. As much as he loves those guys, as much as he flat out told you in that press conference, I would die for the guys in that locker room, and he basically tried to do that during the series.
So I believe he needs to
get over that hump. Maybe the thing he needs to do is get a little more of that LeBron in him.
I believe he had his hand in the JB Bickerstaff change.
That's fair.
And so I do think he is making more moves behind the scenes than maybe we recognize, but you are right. You're right in the idea that we have not seen him when it comes to players and people that he believes are his buddies. We haven't seen him say, I got to do what's best for the basketball team. And maybe this is where he is more involved this offseason. Like, I'd be dying to know. And you were there for Altman's entire press conference. Did anybody ask him in any sort of way of, like, hey, what does Donovan think about this? It's such a player-led league that I feel like I feel like Kobe and the Cavs have not really opened their doors to those discussions yet. And maybe they have, and I'm just not aware of it. But I've gotten no reports of the such. But in most organizations, like, we bring up LeBron for a reason. Like, the big dog has a seat at the table. And it doesn't feel like Donovan necessarily does. Even though I do give him credit, I do think he was behind JB Bickerstaff being gone.
I think that's very true that he had a hand in that. Maybe that is the start of him sort of wielding a bigger stick. I don't know, but like, we bring up LeBron because it's the easy example because we saw that firsthand. But like, there's other, like, think about Giannis in Milwaukee right now. Like, they made a lot of decisions they brought in Damian Lillard. They made some changes at the trade deadline because they were trying different parts and pieces around Giannis to keep him happy. Like, those guys have a lot of these other stars in this league have all gotten to a point where they, I don't want to say they just start demanding things, but like, they put the pressure on the organization to help necessitate the team to that next level and not just bank on, well, hey, development's the thing that's going to get us over the hump. And I get that Donovan's bought into that idea, and that's great, because in a place like Cleveland, you normally wouldn't keep a star player like this if you hadn't sold them on that idea. But maybe the thing that's missing is like him being able to, or being willing to rather, hold the organization's feet to the fire and press things a little bit more on like, hey, we got to make some changes because I want to win more than anything. And I'm not just going to sit here and wait for another year to hope that development is the thing that gets us over the top.
216-474-0092. Was it unfair by Dwayne Wade to basically say that he's judged by what he does in the playoffs and that's it? And how far can a Donovan-led team take you? Michael in a car batting leadoff today. What's up, Michael?
I think that not only was Dwayne Wade, so was Kendrick Perkins, and so were an awful lot of other national media, because it's not like Donovan Mitchell didn't try to have somebody else on the team help him, but Darius Garland couldn't stand on that foot one-legged. Ty Jerome couldn't hit the ocean from a boat. Sam Merrill's first three-pointer never went in, and every time he passed the ball to either Dean Wade or Isaac Okoro for a wide-open shot, they passed off. So I'm saying that this wasn't the fact that Donovan Mitchell tried to do too much too soon. And I'm not even going near the fact that every time he drove the lane, he ended up on the floor and not at the foul line. For them to say, well, you know, he's not one of the greatest, because take a look what happened to the Cavs in the second round. Problem with the Cavaliers was we got injured at the wrong time. Because if any of this would have happened during the season, the team would have A, experienced it, B, been coached through it, and C, had an answer for it. That locker room was too young to have that much go wrong at the same time and still play like it didn't matter. That's all that happened to the Cavaliers this time. And Donovan Mitchell couldn't have played any better. He plays the way he did, exactly the way he did. And the players I mentioned didn't come up with an absolute zero and we're in the playoffs tonight against New York.
All right. Thank you, Michael. I feel like a lot of Cavs fans, they feel that very same way, is that like it was everything else but Donovan. But I do think even in that last game, he went to the free throw line 21 times. The Pacers went 22. Like, his best play at the end of the game was to run into somebody and get a foul. When you watched SGA do last night, that's what Donovan did in the second half of that game. I have any sort of belief in anyone around me, or I myself think I'm making the right basketball play. It's just, I'm just trying to put points on the board.
I definitely think game five was his most egregious game of that series, by the way, to your point, because that was the one game where he actually had somebody helping him out. Like, Evan was having a really good game, and then all of a sudden he disappeared.
Even Ty Jerome came up, hit two big three-pointers.
Well, and I blame Kenny for that, because
he didn't play the first half at all.
You put Darius Garland back in, and it was like, he's giving you nothing. At least Ty's finally hitting some shots. Like, leave him out.
And then they went away from him after hitting two big three-pointers.
Yeah.
It's tough. I know it's tough, but Donovan is, and he knows this as well, he's not going to be able to skirt this. You now have the Joel Embiid syndrome, okay? You've never made it to the conference finals. People are very aware of it.
But he's nicer, so he gets away with it.
Well, I mean, Embiid does stink. Let's just be honest about it. As a crudgy, just kind of... You always think, like, I'd love to have a dinner with that person. I'd love to have a dinner with Donovan. I think it'd be great. No part of me wants a dinner with Joel Embiid. You know what he would do? I feel like he would just reach over and be like, you done with that steak yet? I'd be like, no, it's great steak. One of my favorites of all time. And he would just grab it and be like, it's my steak now. That's Joel Embiid. And that's why people don't like him. And that's why we bring it up with him. But Donovan's taking a lot of flack right now nationally. There's no question about it. We'll get back into this Cavs conversation just a little bit later on. 3:00, we got a Browns conversation with Shedeur Sanders. Coming up next, Quick Hits right here on Afternoon Drive.